Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammadar Rasulullah Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah Hayya 'alas salah Hayya 'alas salah Hayya 'alal falah Hayya 'alal falah As-salatu khayrun minan nawm As-salatu khayrun Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya al falah, hayya al falah. Qad qamatis salah, qad qamatis salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Stow, wa atadilu, wa sabbil khalil.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوم قيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا واصبر على ما يقولون واهجرهم هجرا جميلا وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومهلهم قليلا إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما وطعاما ذا غصة وعذابا أليما يوم ترجف الأرض والجبال وكانت الجبال كثيبا مهيلا إنا أرسلنا إليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا فكيف تتقون إن كفرتم يوما يجعل الولدان شيبا السماء منفطر به كان وعده مفعولا إن هذه تذكرة فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا إن ربك يعلم أنك تقوم أدنى من ثلثي الليل ونصفه وثلثه وطائفة من الذين معك والله يقدر الليل والنهار علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فاقرؤوا ما تيسر من القرآن علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. باب فضل قيام ليلة القدر وبيان أرجى لياليها. We chapter on the virtue of the night of Qadr and the clarification of its occurrence and the most hopeful nights for when ليلة القدر could be. The word Qadr has three meanings. When we look at it from the literal sense. The first, okay, before we get to the first, the night of power is not one of the meanings that have come about. Whilst Qadr, you can, you know, Allahu Qadirun, Allah is powerful, Allah has power. Whilst that is there, but when it refers to Laylatul Qadr, I could be mistaken, but I did check a few years back. And not I could be, there's a likely chance I am mistaken. But if I remember correctly, even Mawsaleem Sahib was mentioning
that the night of power, this translation power, there's no substantiation for it. It's just something which has become common in our tongues. So the first is the night of grandeur. It's a night of grandeur because obviously the Qur'an was revealed in it. That's number one. Also because the amount of angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down onto the earth. It's a very mubarak, very blessed gathering. And at the same time, the amount of people in these nights that are engaging in dua, engaging in istighfar, etc., engaging in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in fervent dua. So because of that, that's one meaning that's given. The second is the night of decision. So if you remember Surah Al-Dukhan, حَامِيمُ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنْذِرِينَ فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam, وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ, by the clear book. إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ, we have revealed it in a blessed night. What is a blessed night? Laylatul Qadr. إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنْذِرِينَ, we are the ones who are warning, we give warning. فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ, in this night, all the affairs of the dunya are distributed out. So meaning the malaika are told, you know, this, who's going to die, who's going to get what, who's this, who's where, what, who, what, why, when, all of that is done. So those are one, two of the literal meanings of what Laylatul Qadr means. Now, Laylatul Qadr is a speciality of this ummah. The previous ummah did not get Laylatul Qadr. Recently, one of the things, I'm going to try and keep it short, I'm very tired, right? But at the same time, if I'm taking long, you'll tell me to go home, please. I need to sleep, I'm really tired. Right, so, one of the things that are recently coming about, for those who are aware and for those who aren't aware, it's nice to know. I won't say nice to know, it's important to know. Is that there's claims that are flying around. So what's going on is that, you know, as we mentioned yesterday, Shaitan is, mashallah, is a very big mufti, one of the biggest. And in the zamana, or in the era where we have ilm and knowledge, where information, I won't say ilm and knowledge, I'd rather say information, where information is readily available, Shaitan will utilize information to misguide people. He won't use ignorance. See, previously ignorance was the way. Allah forgive our, you know, predecessors. By predecessors, I mean, with all due respect, all these uncles' generations. Right? Allah forgive them and the generation before that. Majority of them had no ilm. I don't mean it in a bad way. It's a matter of fact. What they did have, they held on to it, you know, as the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِسِ. Hold on to it, you know, when you sink your teeth into something and you're holding on. Have you all ever seen a dog going into lockjaw? Anyone ever seen that? Right? When the dog goes into lockjaw, Baba, you can do whatever you want, that dog is not letting go. It happened Qurbani time in South Africa, the two dogs grabbed the sheep. And it's so, these were not burburs, pit bull terriers, right? Very aggressive, very, you know, very disgusting looking, you know, Allah forgive me for saying this, but very, very aggressive, dangerous dogs. And somehow from the sheep, they went on to one another. And they were lockjawed. So the guy, and you happen to be my friend as well, in South Africa is a different element. Dogs are for security. You know, no one keeps the dogs in the house. Except that Chihuahua incident. I don't know what was happening there. So, he was whipping them with a metal chain. They were not letting go. Finished. Eventually, they had to go inside, get a boiled kettle of water, and pour it over them, for them to actually let go. That's what a lockjaw is. So the hadith mentions, عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِرِ. Hold on to it like that, you know, completely. بِالنَّوَاجِرِ, نَوَاجِرِ is first of all, back to, you know, grip it. What the previous generation lacked in knowledge, they surpassed in amal. What they didn't have in ilm, they had in amal. When they heard a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about virtue of something, then come hell or high water, they would not miss out on it. But unfortunately, many a times they heard, you know, and alhamdulillah, now you don't see it anymore, but I'd say 5 years ago, 6 years ago, every Ramadan without fail, you'd come across, and I'm quoting this, I'm not saying it is what it is, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever informs someone that is the first of Ramadan, that they'll be forgiven of this and their family will be forgiven of that. I think every muhaddith on the time of, you know, the Sahaba till now is spinning in the grave hearing that nonsense. But, you know, that's what I'm saying, ilm. There's qillat of ilm. And there was wrong ilm as well. But when amal was there, then there was no breaking that amal. They would stick onto that amal till, you know, yawmul qiyamah as well. But, okay, going back to it, shaitan is a mufti. Right? So in a zamana where we have a lot of information, unfortunately, amal is qaleel. I can tell you this hadith and that hadith and that hadith. Right? You can say, oh, mashallah, but now ask me how much amal do I make? Ask me how much amal do I make? Do I make amal? Unfortunately, I do not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me from those who make amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make each and every one of us from those who make amal on that. مَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمُ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The secret of knowledge is what? You make amal on that which you have and Allah ta'ala will give you more. That is the secret of knowledge. You want knowledge, everyone asks, how do I get knowledge? What do I do? Make amal on that which you have and Allah will give you more. That's number one. Number two, ilm is a burden. Ilm is a burden. A good burden, but it's a burden. What do I mean by that? Having a property is a good thing, right? But isn't it a burden? Something goes wrong tomorrow, it's your property. Like, alhamdulillah, I'm not paying rent. But if the machine packs up, it's my problem. If the electrics pack up, it's my problem. If there's a leak into the floorboards, for some reason I put the machine on the first floor, it leaks to down, and the ceiling collapses, I don't have to pick up, call the landlord, say, right, you sort it out, pay me to live somewhere else, and then when I come back, when you sort it out, call me back. Baba, you don't have a house now. So, but is it a good burden? Of course it is. Would anyone complain about having a house? Doubt it, right? Unless your house poor, then that's a different story. So similarly, ilm is a burden. It is a wonderful gift. But if we do not make amal on it, then it will be held, we will be held to account by it. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be people in Jannah and they will ask Allah, or they will ask the Malaika, there was this so-and-so person. He used to instruct us to do good. He used to tell us, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to be here, we need to be there. But we don't see him. And it was because of him, we were doing all this good. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the response will be given, he is in Jahannam. Why? Whilst he was instructing everyone else to do good, he forgot himself. So amal is very important. Anyway, ilm is just as important, don't get me wrong. But amal upon that ilm is more important. You'd rather have very little ilm than have this much and no amal. And then Allah Ta'ala asks you on the day of Qiyamah, I gave you this knowledge. The famous hadith of three men. Amongst the first will enter Jahannam. The first will be a wealthy, I can't remember the exact order, but the first will be the wealthy person. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will say, I gave you so much wealth. What did you do with it? He said, I spent that in your path, O Allah. Allah Ta'ala will say, Kadhabta. And this is the one statement we should all fear. You know, if there's one statement we should fear, is kadhabta. From any statement. Why? We can go in front of Allah and we can say X and we can say Y and we can say Z. Provided the X, Y and Z goes through, alhamdulillah. But if that term kadhabta comes out, what answer will we give? There's no justification. See, in court, the judge can say you're a liar. Right? And you can tell the judge, you know what? Take a hike. I got this, I got this, I got that. And the judge will have to substantiate it. The minute kadhabta comes from Allah, it's it. You know, end of story. The game is over. He said, no, you spent the money so people can tell you that you are generous. إِنَّهُ سَخِي فَقَدْ قِيل. You got what you wanted. You wanted to be called generous. The people called you generous. That's your reward done. Right? And then he will be dragged into the hellfire. The second person will be a mujahid. He said, I fought in your path of Allah, li'i'la'i kalimatillah. I want you to make the word of Allah reign supreme. I wanted your word to spread. Oh Allah, I fought for your sake. I fought defending Islam. I fought protecting Islam. I fought in advancement of Islam as well. Allah Ta'ala will say, كَذَبْتَ. No. You fought so that people will say, he is a brave man. He is a strong man. And people said that. You received all those accolades. You received all those titles. You got your reward. Now, face what you're going to face. And the third person is a person who had ilm. Allah Ta'ala will ask him, what did you do with the ilm that I gave you? What did you do with it? He said, oh Allah, I taught people the Qur'an. I did halaqat, I did this, I did that, I gave tafsir, I did hadith, I did whatnot. Allah Ta'ala once again say, kazabta, no, no, no. You did it, so people say, mashallah, kitna bara malvi hai. What a big malvi. What a big imam. Such a big mufti. All the titles you got what you wanted. Now why are you here at my gates? And then he too will be flung into the hellfire. So ilm, you know, it's a lovely thing, but we need to make amal. Anyway, sorry, we're going one way, out and out. So going back to shaitan is a big mufti. One of the things that are coming about nowadays is you've got the kuffar studying seerah. It's always happened. Throughout history, it's always happened that disbelievers have studied seerah, they've studied hadith, they've studied tafsir. As a matter of fact, you will get non-Muslims who are far more well-versed than some of our, you know, greater imams, etc. Especially the celebrity ones, right? They get blown out of the water. There's only so much you can speak before everyone catches you out that, mashallah, it's just slow speech, repeating the same thing 50 times, and Oxford courses on how to be a motivational speaker. I'm not speaking at anyone, I'm just saying, right? I'm not speaking, Allah save me, I'm a bawakuf, I've said it time and time again. I'm not saying I am someone or anything, as a matter of fact. We're just making a general comment here. So, what's going on at the moment is that people have taken things from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they're now trying to use that to disprove Islam. An example of that is one of the scribes of Wahi. Initially, one of the scribes of Wahi, he became a murtad. He became a kafir. So now, they're saying, oh, see, he realized the truth. And because of that, Islam is fake. So what about all those, you know, senior rabbis and everyone that became Muslim? What about that? What about the churches that became Muslim? I'm talking in the time of Rasulullah. By that logic, what about that? The reason I'm speaking specifically this is, one of the things that have come about is Ramadan. So just recently someone asked me this as well. That someone mentioned to him, a non-Muslim mentioned to him, that Ramadan was something that was pre-Islamic. The word Ramadan, number one. Number two, fasting was something pre-Islamic as well. So that's clearly a sign to show that Islam is not a religion of Tawheed, rather it's a religion that has been, you know, extracted from shirk, because that was shirk was the white thing. So the jawab was quite simple. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. No one denied fasting. As a matter of fact, when fasting became obligatory upon us, upon the Muslim Ummah, the first thing Allah Ta'ala said was that fasting has been prescribed upon you just as it was prescribed upon the previous nations. Islam isn't something new. Islam isn't something new. You look in the Quran, huwa sammakum al-muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he says, Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one who has given us the title of Muslim. That's before Isa alayhi salam, before Musa, going all the way back there. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he used the word Muslim, that's the specific thing. And then if you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was a torchbearer and a carrier of what? He was a torchbearer and carrier of what Nuh alayhi salam brought, of what the Adam alayhi salam brought. It wasn't something new.
So was Adam Muslim? Because he said Ibrahim alayhi salam brought Islam.
He gave the name, okay. Not brought Islam.
So what was Adam?
He was Muslim. But see, one is, I'll give this. Patel family, right? My surname is Patel. Doesn't mean we didn't exist before, what do you call thing, that 50 years ago when my family somehow, for some Allah knows what reason, took the surname Patel. But the original Indian surname that I had, I'm making shukr, you know, is Patel. The other one sounds much worse. But before that, the family still existed. So similarly like this, the name was given. See, someone had to give us the name. You understand? The name had to come from somewhere. So this name came from Ibrahim alayhi salam, who said, we are Muslims. And why Ibrahim alayhi salam specifically? What was the one quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Submission. Through and through his life, submission was the quality. When Allah Ta'ala told him, migrate, what did he do? He migrated. When Allah Ta'ala had already inspired him before wahi came to him, that you know, there can't be other gods. This doesn't make sense. What did he do? Submit. When he was challenged, what did he do? Submit. Not to them, not to the people, to Allah. When he was thrown into the fire, what did he do? He submit. When he had to go leave that place, what did he, and leave his family in Mecca? La shajara wa la wabar. There was no trees, there was no vegetation, there was no water, there was absolutely nothing. Today, you and I, Allah forgive us, we do the utmost haram in order to avoid a possibility of something going wrong. Not in order to avoid something going wrong, in order to avoid the remote possibility of something going wrong. You know, the job market is a bit bad. Okay. And the bank here, they've asked me to be part of their mortgage department. So straight into the wajikul haram, straight into the lions, into the mouth of a lion, not because you are starving and dying, but the job market is bad. What if I don't find another job? Do you have a house? Yes, I do. Are you comfortable right now? Alhamdulillah. So then? No. But what if? What if? Ibrahim alayhi salam was certain of a death. There's no water. There's no vegetation. You're in the desert. The main thing you need in the desert is water. Without water, where will you go? What will you do? How long will you last? We go for Umrah. Alhamdulillah, take us time and time again. Right? How much water don't we drink? What's the one thing that gets us over there? Just walking from the hotel to the haram and back, and parched. You drink zamzam, you don't even need to go to the bathroom with the amount of water your body literally takes in and utilizes. You barely need to go to the bathroom. So, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was leaving his family there, he knew he is leaving them to a certain destruction were it not for Allah Ta'ala's mercy. From the dunyawi aspect is destruction. But did he not do it? Yes, he did. Why? Submission to Allah's command. Allah Ta'ala tells him, build the haram. What does he do? Builds it. Submission to Allah Ta'ala's command. Allah Ta'ala tells him, slaughter your son. He doesn't make excuses. What does he do? Submission to Allah's command. Allah Ta'ala tells him, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ, make the announcement. But Allah, there's no one here. Make the announcement. What does he do? He makes the announcement. For what? For Hajj. And now what do we see? People are fighting. You know, my family, she teaches on the weekend, right? So she was just telling me, one of the teachers asked if they could be completely excused from classes. I said, what happened? So she said, no, they want to do the nusuk. And it starts at, I think, 9 or 10 o'clock. And it's basically, and if you don't mash your finger enough, hard enough and fast enough, you won't get in. So I said, no, 100%, because they're the curriculum lead, etc. I said, no, make sure, you know, give them the opportunity. Now imagine, people are, how many? It's like maybe 4,000 years, 5,000 years at least. 5,000 years have passed. The call was made over 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years have passed. And leave alone people in that area of Makkah, Mukarramah, people from around the places where Ibrahim alayhi salam, it wouldn't have even crossed his mind that a place like this exists. People are mashing their keyboards and people are mashing their phones trying to go there. Submission to Allah. Islam means to submit. It does not mean peace. Islam means to submit. Yes, peace will come after submission. But the first thing is we need to submit. Submit to the commands of Allah. Last night's recitation, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. What Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam have told you to do, you do it. And what they have prevented you from, or what they have told you not to do, you refrain from it. We do what we are supposed to do in the time that we are supposed to do it. Khalas. That is our ibadah. You sleep, that is thing. Sorry, just looking. There's a child there. That's what I get. Hadith, right? Hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sadaqah. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that relations with one's spouse is sadaqah. Exactly that. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu are perplexed. How can it be? I am living the best life. I am doing the best thing. And I'm getting rewarded for it. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh my Sahaba, tell me one thing. Were you to commit haram? Were you to commit haram? Meaning zina. Or more common in our generation, pornography, right? It's, rather not put that something in a child's head that is not there already. Although nowadays, unfortunately, even schools are teaching this kind of CRAP. Or self, you know, self doing things, doing it on yourself as well. We have to have the difficult conversations sometimes, you know. We have to address these things. Unfortunately, it's a pandemic in our communities. Really, it's a pandemic in our communities. And I'm talking specifically our Muslim communities. It's a complete pandemic, you know. Youngsters are getting married, and there's divorces happening. Obviously, they're hiding the reason because you don't want to expose it. But there are divorces happening simply because, you know, factory isn't working. Right. If the factory isn't working, what's she supposed to do? Why? Ayan, why are you asking difficult conversations?
It's 25 plus.
Time is, now I'm wide awake, you know? Inshallah, I'll sleep after. Yeah? There's a child there, man. Have raham on the child.
Right?
Jay? We'll speak about it later. Muhammad will give you a special lesson, right? So, okay, just to, look, the thing is, right, I read one study a few years ago. It was one of the most disturbing studies. It was close to one of the most disturbing studies I ever read. The most disturbing thing I ever read was, when I was a young child, I used to devour books. When I mean devour books, I mean literally, you know, the book will go like that through me. And Allah knows, somehow I got hold of a serial killer book. Very factual. And that thing mentally disturbed me. Like, when I mean it finished my brains off, it finished my brains off to the extent I had to, literally I went and burnt the book. I was like 13 years old and I read it. It was sickening. Anyway, the closest study after that that I can say that I read, which really disturbed me, was a study on, what's a complete, just underturned word that I can use? The study on these kind of images, right? On these videos and stuff, right? We'll just leave it at that, on these videos. And subhanAllah, they say the effect it has on the mind is worse than the effect of hardcore drugs. Right? If you have dealt with people who are addicted to drugs, etc., and you see it, you know, Allah save us, really, Allah Ta'ala save us, Allah Ta'ala save us. It's very dangerous. You know, when you say be careful of your friends, I genuinely mean be careful of your friends. When we were in South Africa, unfortunately, some of the youngsters, they were involved in drugs quite a bit. And obviously, me by default, me, my nephew and all of them, we were called muftis by default. Not because we were muftis or anything, we were still studying, but because his father, my cousin, was a mufti, and everyone thought he was my uncle. So they would call all of us muftis. So now they would come and tell us everything. We knew all the dirty secrets, unfortunately, and some of them are really dirty. The wealthier the area gets, the worse it becomes. That's one thing I'll tell you. Some of the wealthiest areas in South Africa, you know, ajeeb, the nonsense that goes on. Subhanallah, ajeeb. And you know, mashallah, you see all of them in Fajr in the first saf, big beards, everything. And at night, they're swapping wives and stuff like that. Allah Ta'ala save us, really, Allah Ta'ala save us. You know, just because we don't hear things in these communities, in our communities, we don't hear much. That's mostly because we're very antisocial in England. Alhamdulillah. I love that. You know? But in South Africa, they're not so antisocial, unfortunately. Which is why I used to stick out like a sore thumb. Because I was very antisocial. So, this kid, this youngster, he's older. He was older than us. He just come sitting there, me, my nephew, one to us. Oh, have you tried, you know, this and that? We look at it like, something wrong with you. Like, you know? So then he just said it as a joke. He said, you know what, you should try it, man. The buzz it will give you is something else. I said, Allah kabanda, is haram. He said, no, don't worry. One day I'll give you a can of Coke and I'll just put it inside a can of Coke and you won't even know. Whether he was joking or not, it was from that point onward I stopped accepting food from anyone. I even up till now, I generally, Hafiz Salman's going to look at me because he asked me to come to his house. basically, since then, I've been very mindful about, shops, etc. The thing is, there's a legal contractual obligation. If something goes wrong, you know, it's a different story. But I think from there, my heart literally closed off. And I literally try to avoid walimas, everything. Like, I don't go at all. If I need to go for a nikah, I'll go for the nikah. If I need to perform the nikah, I'll perform the nikah. They can give me food, I'll just put it down and say, Jazakallah. I'll try to give it to someone else. But, you know, since then. But anyway, drugs, right? The things that, you know, they do to you, it's mad. When you go, you start off here, you will end up there. Very rarely does a person go, you know, into drugs and not go above it. Because eventually you become desensitized to it. This is a very key thing, desensitized. With these videos and these images and this kind of thing, the same thing happens. You become desensitized. It doesn't do it for you anymore. So what do? Go one step above. And then one step above. And then one step above. You know, when you see this whole Epstein and all of this nonsense going on, we say Epstein, right? The reality is in our communities is the exact same thing. Maybe not, it's not on a grand scale where they're, you know, literally trafficking children across what you call thing, countries and stuff. But it's happening. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh is happening. No one wants to speak about it. No one wants to speak about it. Is it happening? Yes, it is. Look, really, and you know, a child goes missing, who cares? In these, I'm talking specifically these three countries, if a child goes missing, who cares? No one cares. We're crying about the children in Gaza, etc. And we should, our hearts should cry. But what about the children that are being, all of what's going on there? Same thing is happening. And it's happening, sometimes there are, you know, ulama who are doing it. Or who are covering for it. And justifying it. I don't like, you know, I'm going to say something, right? And you must forgive me. Just please, I'm asking for forgiveness in advance, right? I'm just asking for forgiveness in advance. Please, forgive me. And if you fall into any one of these communities, then please forgive me. I do not want to create any strife or any racial, what do you call, disharmony. But sometimes we need, you know, if we don't take lesson from our history, we are doomed to repeat it. Right? Everyone's heard that in one shame for shame. In 1970s, you know, I'm not going to say the countries either, right? You all know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say it though. When the things were happening in the Indian subcontinent between two supposed Muslim countries, right? The ulama of one of the countries, not all, right? Please bear this out, not all. There were certain ulama in one of those countries who wrote a fatwa saying it's permissible to rape the woman of the other country. Why? Allah knows why. I'm trying to think, why didn't someone just put a bullet through his head at that point in time? Because how can a mufti go and pass a fatwa like that is mind-boggling. Like, what loopholes do you have to jump through? What even loopholes? What kufr do you have to jump through to do that? That is kufr. That is kufr. It is clear-cut kufr. When zina is haram, how can you force on someone else? And how can you how can you pass a fatwa you saying it's a religious responsibility to do it? You'll know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Look, Allah forgive. Allah forgive, Allah forgive, Allah forgive. Right? Allah Ta'ala will take them to task for that. It's our time. We need to, you know, close these, bridge all these gaps, etc. That Allah Ta'ala will take them to task for. Allah Ta'ala will deal with them. If they haven't made tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will, inshallah, deal with them. And anyone like them, anyone that supported them, as well, Allah Ta'ala will deal with them, inshallah, day of Qiyamah. Allah will punish them. Allah will sort them out. Right? Let's work towards unity. But we can't forget where we came from. Because we are doomed to repeat where we came from. Anyway, the effect of this is desensitization. So you go. Oh, he's asleep, right? Right. The reason why, this last part, I don't know how to mince the words. It came to a point in the study where they said they were straight men, heterosexual men, who were watching homosexual pornography and committing homosexual acts whilst maintaining the fact that they are heterosexual. Why? Because they had come so desensitized that they couldn't do anything normally. That's how messed up this thing is. Now, this wasn't the topic which you wanted to speak about, but since Ayan, mashallah, barakat, you know. Look, I know the older generation generally feels a bit shy to speak about this, and they want to shy away from it. And, you know, rightfully so. We all should shy away from it. But if it's a pandemic plaguing our youngsters, if we as parents, if we as uncles, if we as grandfathers, if we are not aware about it, how will we protect our children? I'm not saying you go home, you put the website on and say, look, this is haram. Now, don't be silly like that now. Some people are, you know, Ajib, they do things like that as well. No, you need to know. You need to know what challenges to face. Look, many, mashallah, we all have phones. We all have smartphones as well. But do we know how to set up parental control at home? Do we know that? Majority of us don't know that. Do we know we can go, depending on your internet, what you call thing, depending on your internet service provider, you can block off things from the very, what you call thing, from the root itself, the DNS and all of that. You know, I'm not an IT guy, right? Do we know that? We don't. This is called protecting our children. Hifazat of deen, you know, you have to move with the times as well. It's not just right, madrasa me beljao, sit in a madrasa, maktab, alif ba ta tha, you know, ya wassalamu, wassalamu doesn't exist, right? That was in old qaidas. Now no more wassalamu, if you don't know. Right? It's no longer about that zamana. As parents, we need to know. When the challenges change, we need to know how to adapt to the challenges. Alhamdulillah, parents nowadays, they are a bit more clued on. Even those who did grow up back home, now they are. But if you look at it, when we were youngsters, right, 15 years ago, my father knew jack all. Allah reward him, right? I love my father. But he knew jack all about all of this. And in this zamana where everything is being thrown at you, I say thrown, flung at you, in school, on the billboards, on, you know, even a so-called websites that don't allow it, they have it. Then it begs the question, how are you going to protect them? I remember when I was studying, right, I started off my initial alim class studies, I started in Imam Zakaria Academy, Romford Road, Forest Gate. I was so small, when we used to come to Beshi Zewar, the fifth class, the ustaz used to send me out of class, saying, no, you're too small to listen to all of this. Right. So I started off then. And I didn't really do much. I repeated everything anyway because I did it in Urdu when I went to South Africa. I did it in Urdu after that, Urdu and Arabic. So remember once one youngster came to the masjid and he asked some of the students. He didn't ask any of the ulama. He asked some of the students. He said, can I watch pornography and can I masturbate? Now, alhamdulillah, Allah reward him for coming to ask. Right? He said, why? He said, you know, I know zina is haram. I know having a girlfriend is haram. But here I'm not doing anything with anyone. So can I do it? Right? And alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave him the aql to go and ask something. If we as parents don't know what our children are going through, how do we speak about it with them? Genuine question, right? So I know we don't want to waste our entire thing on this, but I'm just saying. Anyway, going on that study, right? It concluded with the fact that all these, a lot of these, what you call thing, children and all of these things as well, many a times it stems from this, where they completely reach a point where nothing works for them. You're literally seeing regular istiftas, you know, fatwas coming, you know, not people asking about fatwas, you know, I can't function with my wife unless if I watch, what do you call thing? It doesn't work. I just can't do it. I have to watch it only then. Where have we come to? What have we come to? Allah Ta'ala save us. And the other thing is, right, if anyone knows of anyone that is involved in this, then there are ways out. There are ways out. There is cure. There is a cure as well. Even if it's become completely desensitized, there are cures for it. But remember, you know, you need to be militant on yourself, on a different level of militant. You need to have the self-control. See, the dopamine that comes out when you watch it, the dopamine rush is something that's unmatchable. That's why many people who try to give it up when they go through a rough patch, you know, as a former drug addict, they go straight back to the drugs. Similarly, they go straight back to it. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Ta'ala save our communities. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Anyway, so This Ramadan thing, right? Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Siyam was something that was established. You will increasingly see these kind of useless arguments and baseless arguments, right? The jawab and answer for them majority of the time is very simple. Most of us will know them. And there's no, you know, the reality is there's no point engaging. There's absolutely no point engaging. If a person comes with something ridiculous like that, then already know he's not coming with a good reason. See, one is I came to ask you, why are you fasting? That is one thing. The other is I'm coming, oh, but fasting there, so well, you know, some shirk, you know, yeah, you're not on Tawheed, you're on something else. They won't say Tawheed, obviously. But you say, you're all, what do you call, think, polytheists, stuff like that. Ignore that. Anyway, so this ummah was blessed with Laylatul Qadr. And the most famous narration, there are a few narrations that come about it, but the most famous narration that comes about is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, upon being informed about the lifespans of the likes of Ad and Thamud and them lot, they became a bit despondent. They said, you know what? How is it that we can match in their ibadah? How is it that we can match in their ibadah when they were blessed with such long lifespans? Triple, quadruple our lifespans. How can we ever do anything like that? So Allah Ta'ala blessed the ummah with Laylatul Qadr, where Allah Ta'ala has literally said that if in one night you do what you are supposed to do, nothing more, just what we are supposed to do. Allah Ta'ala is not telling you to make a handstand and read Quran like that the whole night, no. Allah Ta'ala is not telling you tie yourself from the ceiling and make sure you can't sleep, poke yourself, you know, no. Just do the bare minimum. You know, the fuqaha, they literally say, the muhaddithin also say, the bare minimum, you know. Obviously it's Ramadan, so Taraweeh. Isha with Jama'ah, Fajr with Jama'ah, obviously Taraweeh in between, Fajr with Jama'ah, go to sleep. Go to sleep before, go to sleep after, that's it. And you do it in the way it's supposed to be done, Alhamdulillah, you got your Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. Obviously you want to make the du'as, because you want your du'as to be accepted. But I'm talking about, you know, getting that 83 years worth of reward. We don't need to do, you know, we should. When someone comes to your house, right, what they'll tell you, oh, no takallufa, you don't need to go over. But what do you want to do? Yeah, you want, you know, tell the wife, no, make this, make that, this, that, this, that, put this, put that, all of this. But do you need that? No. Something simple, will it suffice? Yes, it will. So similarly like that, we don't need to, but we should try to. Anyway, the second one that comes about is that the Sahaba, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, leave that one. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, as per his usual habit, he starts off a chapter normally. When he starts off a chapter, he brings the ayat of the Quran first, and then he goes on to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here he brings two ayat, one ayat from Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, the beginning of Surah Al-Qadr. Then the second is from Surah Al-Dukhan, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. Right. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه متفق عليه. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه said that the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whosoever stands in ليلة القدر, the night of قدر, إيمانا واحتسابا, he stands with إيمان. Right. Meaning he stands believing firmly in Allah. If you're standing on ليلة القدر, everyone has إيمان. But you stand believing firmly in Allah, believing in the promises of Allah, believing in the wa'id of Allah, that whatever, you know, that you know why you are there. It's not just a ritual. It's more, it's internal. There's something going on here. Wahtisaba. At the same time, you are hopeful of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are looking for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, many a times what happens is we stand and it's like, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ud'u Allah wa anta muqinun bil ijaba." When you make dua in a way that you are certain that Allah Ta'ala will answer your dua. Unfortunately, what happens with us, and I speak for myself as well, making the dua and thinking, already thinking, whilst making the dua, but what if it doesn't happen? But then what am I going to do? That's no way. You don't go to someone, right? You need to borrow money from them, right? You want to buy a property, you need to borrow money from them. Now, but if you don't give it, but you know, are you sure you're going to give it? No, but will you give it? But you know this, that. The guy's going to look at you and say, you're more confused than I am, and I'm the one giving you the money. Right? Obviously, not saying Allah Ta'ala is, you know, his process is like that. But I'm just saying, you know, it doesn't make sense for us to do it with a person whom we have no i'timad on. You cannot have any i'timad on a person. So why would you do it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we should have full reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, لو أنكم توكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير أو ترزق الطير تغدو خماصة وتروح بطانة. You know what a beautiful hadith. Umar radiallahu anhu climbed onto the minbar and he said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that, you know what our problem is? Our problem is we don't have tawakkul. We say we have tawakkul. And I speak for myself more than anyone else here. We have zero tawakkul. Zero tawakkul. No reliance upon Allah whatsoever. At all, at all, at all. And partially because of the environment we live in. Alhamdulillah. I'm not saying we make dua for a difficult environment. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us a good environment. But it's because we live in such a cushy environment that we have no tawakkul. Why? Because everything is always there. We're so used to it, you know. But if I can't do here, then I'll go to my father's house, then my mother's house. Then I'll do this and I'll do that. Or, you know, worst comes to worst, benefits. Or this or that. You know, there's always a cushion somewhere along the way. And that has removed that tawakkul from our hearts. Umar radiallahu anhu said, so, لو أنكم توكلون على الله حق توكله. Were we to have that reliance upon Allah Rabbul Izzah, as we ought to do so. As we ought to do so. You know, as last night, رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Oh Allah, upon you we rely. وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا. To you we return, to you we turn to. وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرِ. And to you is the end point. So he said, you would be like the birds. Allah Ta'ala would sustain you like he has sustained the bird. The bird goes out in the morning. Does it know where it's going? Does it have a job? Does it have a freezer or a fridge? Does it have a kitchen? Does it have a mother to go to? No. The bird goes out in the morning, flies in a direction, doesn't know where it's going, doesn't know how it's going, doesn't know anything. It goes hungry, with no food in its stomach. There are chicks in the nest there. It has to feed those chicks. There's no breastfeeding, anything like that. There's no, you know, milk like it is with other animals. Whatever food it gets, it gets. And then in the evening it comes back, it is filled in its stomach. And it sustains its youngling, its hatchlings as well. Allah Ta'ala, look, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Last night's recitation again. Allah is Razzaq. Once again, Raziq means to who sustains. Razzaq is hyperbole. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ghaliban, if I remember, I can't remember exactly the incident behind it. Just find the Muhammad, find it please. The stone and the ant inside it reciting tasbih. Just find it please. Anyway, once Muhammad finds it, right, he'll tell the beginning part. But when he was told, strike the stick onto the rock. Is it Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam? I believe it's Ibrahim alayhi salam. Is it Musa alayhi salam? Have you found it? Yeah, the ant to the leaf. Is it Adada Khalqi or Ida? No, it's not. No. I don't know if it comes in a hadith or it comes in another kitab. Anyway, whilst Muhammad is looking for it, right? Look, rizq is in the control of Allah. Rizq, I am not saying don't take your precautions. No one is saying don't do what you are supposed to do. We need to get a job. Yes. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. A sahabi came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, when I come to the masjid, sometimes I leave my camel. You know, just leave it like that. And I just go inside, I rely upon Allah. اِعْقِلْهَا. Tie the camel. Take your precaution. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Then rely upon Allah. Okay, you'll see the camels, right? They're not weak creatures. They're really strong. You know, that that rope that he's tying it is a placebo effect. It's a placebo for it. Otherwise, how strong a camel is, that rope won't hold it. If you'll go for Qurbani, you know, this country is a bit dead in that, right? You need to go back home. Even back home, you go to South Africa for Qurbani. Then you'll know what Qurbani is. Right? Qurbani in South Africa, alhamdulillah, you know, you feel like a man. You actually feel like, you know, that you feel like a man. My view is everyone is a child until they go slaughter their own animal first. Provided they do it properly, not that it goes gung-ho. We were there one year, Eid, one man, he came. Astaghfirullah, Allah forgive us. You know, we were silly children, right? My cousin's family, his in-laws, they have a farm. Right? Really nice farm, mashallah. So they do qurbani. So, you know, alhamdulillah, 2,000 plus animals they do every year for qurbani. So obviously we... Musa alayhi salam and the? Worm. What was the tasbih? You know I'm deaf, right? Okay. So is Musa Islam in the worm, right? I didn't really hear the tasbih he mentioned. I should probably just send it to me so I can just read it out here. But anyway, so with the hiya time, right? So alhamdulillah, we used to end up doing a lot of the cutting ourselves. And I won't say a lot, like there'll be like between us cousins, etc., there would be like 300-400 sheep for us to slaughter, right? And some goats. So we had one guy coming, mashallah, you know. And we told him, okay, we used to hold the animals down and everything. And this guy here came, looked around and said, okay. Put the knife, took out a fresh, mashallah, very nice knife. And then he took out gloves. And we're looking at Baba, what's happening here? Like, in contrast, right, we used to obviously Eid, right? Eid, the sunnah on Eid al-Adha. The sunnah of Eid al-Fitr is that you have something sweet, specifically an odd number of dates, before you go for the Eid Salah. You shouldn't eat anything. And then when you go, you eat. Right? That is a sunnah of Eid al-Fitr. Right? Just remember this, inshallah, if I don't get the tawfiq to remind you, or someone else doesn't remind you. The sunnah for Eid Salah is an odd number of dates. The sunnah for Eid al-Adha is that you eat the liver of the slaughtered animal. That's the sunnah for Eid al-Adha, that you eat the liver of the slaughtered animal. Now obviously for us it's very difficult. But I know what some people do, especially here as well, that if they do udhiyah locally, they'll freeze the meat and they'll have it, you know. It's the spirit. I won't say it's the same thing, but the spirit is there. And why they want to do it. In try to, you know, as much as possible to try and fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why they're doing it. So anyway, what we would do is obviously now the farm. And the other thing is that, you know, in a farm, etc., there's no Eid Salah. There's no Jum'ah Salah, there's no Eid Salah. Right? But they would go read their Eid Salah in the local masjid because there's a lot of farms in that area. They would go to that masjid there and they would come back and they would start. And you must understand, on a farm, there are people waiting there from after Fajr. People are coming with their cars, they're waiting there because, you know what, get it over and done with. Get this done, get the udhiyah done, clip your nails, moustache, or whatever hair you need to remove. That's also another sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That for udhiyah, if the person is performing udhiyah, if a person is going to do qurban, then that person should not, once the Dhul-Hijjah, once the moon of Dhul-Hijjah, once the wajik of Maghrib, of the first of Dhul-Hijjah comes, you should not clip your nails, you should not remove any hair. Right? You should let it grow. And then after you do your udhiyah, then you should clip it. According to the Hanabila, etc., it's actually wajib. It's not just sunnah, it's wajib. According to the Ahnaf, alhamdulillah, you know, it's mustahab. That's why you see me cutting my nails. I'm a Bayasharan chap. Allah forgive me for that, right? So, anyway, udhiyah, like, so what they would do is, the family, the women, they'd all be in the house, in the farmhouse. The men are all running around, you know, gung-ho, whatever, doing everything. So the first they do is the family's qurbani, at least one of them. And once that's done, they would clean it fast. So you had all the, you know, all the farm boys and everything like that. They would clean it fast. They would send the liver, the kaleji, as you normally say, as we normally call it. They'll send it inside. They'll cook it because they'll have all the, you know, all the onions, everything sautéed, everything ready. You just need to put the thing in. It's done. Straight out, fresh. And they'll give it to everyone. Now, why I'm saying this is that on one hand, we are covered in blood. Like, it's so bad, we get shouted at. Like, I remember, we used to get shouted at all the nannies and everyone. Oh, what's wrong with you? Go wash your hands. Caked in blood. I mean, just eating food like that. Ain't nobody got time for knife and fork. Right, but, you know, all the ulama there, no one's going to eat with a knife and fork. So you're sitting there with blood, not blood dripping, right? The blood is dry. It's not that bad now. But eating, and the mashad is pulling out gloves, face mask, everything. So, you know, subhanAllah, sometimes, anyway, for the youngsters, yeah, you need to go and, you know, do some qurbani, right? Everyone's slaughtered. You're there, mashallah. You need to go. It's an encouraged sunnah of Rasulullah as well, that a person should slaughter their own animal. That is a very encouraged sunnah of Rasulullah, not just deputed. The thing is, qurbani, Allah forgive me. Look, I'm a person, right? I'll be very honest with you. I'm like some of my teachers, alhamdulillah. Not good like them. Allah Ta'ala make me good like them. But one time, our ustads, what we used to do, we used to purposely, in hadith lessons, in mishkat, sometimes I tried it in Sahih Muslim as well. What we'll do is during the hadith dars, we'll bring about one topic. Because what will happen, for Ma'azahir, Hafidahullah, what will happen with him is, once that topic goes into his mind, he'll stop the lesson and speak about that topic. And everyone knew I was the shaitan like that. So my other ustad, Maulana Ahmad Parak, the minute I would open my mouth, he said, "Hey, you, shut your mouth." the shut your mouth wasn't rude at all. See, sometimes I say certain words. You have to understand, I say it from that context. So it may seem a bit rude here, or it may seem a bit haphazard here. But you have to understand that in South Africa, it's completely, you know, there's no attack, there's no meaning to it. It's completely normal. So anyway, you'll have to stop me, right? Otherwise, you're just going to carry on in circles about the different topics. But anyway, udhiyya, right? We'll just finish up and try to go back to Laylatul Qadr. And so you should try. The Messenger, the spirit of udhiyya is sacrifice. You're sacrificing 100 and, I don't know how much it's going to be right now, right? But I would assume, wallahu alam, last year was how much? 115, 120? Four sheep, yeah.
Probably more.
It fluctuates. And I guess now it's more. It should be more expensive. It shouldn't be more expensive because the new lambs are coming. I don't know actually.
Seasonal, it fluctuates. The price goes up. Synergies, you don't have
price. Yeah, but with everything else going on, right?
They just put it up. It's just the way it goes.
Probably same as in Pakistan.
Yeah, same everywhere. Price hikes up.
I would genuinely say, nowadays, we should ideally send our udhiya abroad. Okay. Let me put a what you call thing. As a family, if you're doing udhiya, so right, some of the madahib, I think Maliki or someone, they say, one udhiya is sufficient for the entire family, including a sheep. Just for the family. They say specifically for the family. I don't know where the fatwa was, but I think Morocco last year, the king slaughtered on behalf of the entire kingdom. I don't know how they did it and what, but you know, he did it. And his whole thing was because we don't have many sheep in the country. Right? I'm not saying that's a justification or whatever, but he did that, right? Other madhahib, they're of the opinion that each person that is baligh, has reached the age of puberty, that has the nisab, the amount of money that, you know, where zakat will become necessary, you know, more than that, has to do his own udhiyah. Some go to say it's wajib. Now this is where the difficulty comes about, where it's wajib. Because as the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من وجد ساعة لأن يضحي فلم يضحي فلا يحضر مصلانا. You know, this is one of those ahadith where it's scary, genuinely speaking. There's no punishment mentioned. But look at the word, you have to understand from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized coming to the masjid. To what degree? To such a degree that he said in Medina Munawwara that I feel like I should command the youngsters to gather firewood and set fire to the houses of those who are sleeping through Fajr. This is the person. And now in this case here, he is saying, don't come to the masjid, don't come to the musalla, don't come for salah. Who? That person who has the ability to perform udhiyah, but he doesn't do it. It's a stark warning. Right? So we should be, you know, look, if you can't afford to do it here, there are countries out there where you can do £20 per share. Allah ka banda, we spend £20 on coffee. I don't drink coffee, alhamdulillah, so I'm exempt from this, right? So you spend £20 on coffee. £20, yes, it's difficult. You know, takeaway in a small, even a normal family nowadays, takeaway £20, I don't know where you're going to, even...
£30-40.
And that you talk at the cheap places like Spice Hut and stuff. I don't need Spice Hut either. I don't understand it, right? But I know the Bangladeshi community loves Spice Hut. That naga sauce is fake, right? Please don't try and justify anything. I know chili. I like chili. That naga sauce is not it. Right? So we spend that money. We can. We do. Even though we say our pockets are tight and things are tight, do we not spend the money? We've all said our pockets are tight. We need to tighten up. For Eid, have we not bought Eid gifts? Do we not somehow go a bit above board as well? I'm not saying don't. I will tell you, decorate your house for Eid. As a matter of fact, I will go one step ahead and say it is necessary. I'm not going to use the Shari'i terms because it's not a Shari'i thing. I will say if you are a parent, if you are a grandfather, if you are an uncle and you have children coming to your house, it is necessary for you to decorate your house. Put balloons. Put streamers. Put lights. I'm not saying go like the Bareilly Masjid and put green lights and become a Christmas tree. I'm not saying go all the way abroad. And don't make an Eid tree and everything. Now, see, Eid tree, that stems directly from the Christmas tree. That's out. But balloons, etc., there's nothing wrong. Do we not do it in our weddings? Why shouldn't we do it on a day of celebration from the side of Allah? Allah has given us a day of celebration. Such a holiday Allah Ta'ala has given us that it is haram for us to fast on it. أَيَّامُ أَكْلٍ وَشُرْبٍ وَبِعَالٍ. The days of eating, the days of drinking, and the days of marital relations. That's the day. These are the days of it. So we should. But more importantly is to impart upon the youngsters the value of Eid. Look, I grew up in this country. We are Asians. So when it comes to Asians, I'm going to be a bit personal here. When it comes to Asians, you know, family dynamics play a lot of role in everything. Someone is not talking to the other person. Someone has to go there. Someone is, oh, we're not ready, so you can't come to our house up till now. And there's always, oh, but if you go to this person's house, you can't go to that person's house. Or if you go to that person's house, don't go to that person's house. So no one wants to go to anyone's house. What happens to us as children? We are told Eid is the best day. But it happens, unfortunately, that we make it like it's the deadest day. There's no celebration. Outside of that small Eid and the Eid al-Salah in the morning, there's nothing. We speak about the reverts as well. What about for them? As a community, what are we doing for them? This is a question for the masjid. The chairman isn't here. I would have put him on the spot as well, right? But that's your job now. You're the community here. Me, I live 10 minutes away. I've got five masjids. Three masjids on my way to here. So I'm excused. Y'all are not. What are we doing? It's a day of celebration. Be happy. Smile. Show that it's a happy day. Our children are seeing Christmas Day. Our children are seeing Easter. They're seeing the celebrations. What else are they seeing? They're seeing Abba is at home. He's not at work. On Eid Day, Abba is at work. Now I'm saying this and I'm the one that's going to be in a prison leading Eid Salah after doing Eid Salah here. So my son is, but you know, that's, I won't say it's a separate situation. But if we don't go there, who's going to give the prisoners Eid Salah? So you know, it's a dharura kind of thing. But for some, it's not darura. We can take off. We can use our annual leave. Yes, what the uncle said is correct. Not we can, we should do it. Allah Akbar, you know, show your children. If you're going to tell your children, Jum'ah, Taraweeh, Ramadan, this, that, and then never this, what grows up? I'm telling you something I went through. We went through as a friend circle. We used to go through it. Eid was like, you know what? Okay, we did Eid Salah and then go to each other's house and play games. That's not Eid. That's not the spirit of Eid. If you haven't, I'm genuinely encouraging you, buy some balloons, especially if you have children. You don't have to go expensive. Make it small. But show your children that, you know what? Today is the day of our celebration. Today is our Eid. I won't forget the first year I did it in my father's house. The first year I did it. It so happened in that year, just 2 days prior to that, my uncle passed away. My father's older brother. And I had a standoff with my father. I genuinely had a fight with my father in the house. I'm not saying you should do that, but I had a fight with my father in the house. My father is old school. He said, what is all this? And he said, you know what, 3 days we should be grieving. I said, yeah, we should. I said, well, you got 5 grandchildren. They don't know that. They don't understand that. What they know is the day of Eid. And I told my father, I said, I will put balloons no matter what happens. And all my siblings, it's not right, it's wrong. You shouldn't do this with your father. Not with your parents at all. It's 100% wrong. But I did it for, I knew my father was speaking from emotion at that time. And I also knew my father was speaking from the fact that, you know what, he grew from the older generation of Maulvis. And for them, what's this bakwas? You know? Hey, all this nonsense, leave it, kuffar. Maybe not so much kuffar, but all this nonsense, you know, like that. So, but alhamdulillah, my father eventually, when he saw how happy my nieces and nephew were, now it's every year, alhamdulillah. So this is it, you know, but it was my niece and nephew, they're like 10 years old already by then. 10, 11, 12, actually no, she's 18 now. She was 12 years old. So it took time. We did it very late, but do it. Now, alhamdulillah, I don't even need to tell them. My nieces are the ones already arguing with another, oh, okay, which decoration, which colors do we do it? What colors do we not do? Okay, there's the Eid gift party, whatever, what do you call company? They do that warehouse, let's go over there. No, mom, you need to take me. Yeah, I know the house, the work, there's construction happening and it's not fully done, but it doesn't matter. We're going to get a balloon arch. It'll last a few years, you know, not the balloons, the balloon arch itself. Do it. I'm telling you, your children will thank you. And these, you know, sometimes to save the iman, it's not about teaching them Surah Baqarah and Surah that. That's important. But in order to protect them from the iman, just as you have to talk about pornography and masturbation, sometimes you have to do the good things like this as well. Mufti Taqi Uthmani used to say, when you give your child money, we give pocket money, right? We all do. Right? When should you give it to them? Give it to them on a Friday. Why? It will create that affinity in their heart from a young age for Jumu'ah. Do we not see? I mean, we all look for Friday. We all look towards Friday. And the reason we look forward to Friday, it's because Saturday and then Sunday. You know? That's if you're not working on a Saturday. If you're working on a Saturday, then it's, you know, Allah make it easy for you, inshallah. But, you know, create these kind of things. I was supposed to be sleeping by now.
Yeah, I did tell you you're not going to go.
15 minutes or so, right, till Ishraq, so we just wait now. You know, anything you'll want to discuss or ask about, any specific topics? Because I know no matter what comes about, something is going to come about and we'll discuss that, right? So there was two. So the thing I was speaking about, right? It's really cold here. Okay. So paying on behalf of someone else is perfectly fine, right? Paying on behalf of someone else is perfectly fine. What they were speaking about here. What they were speaking about here wasn't paying on behalf of someone else. It was basically doing it on behalf of multiple people. That's where the issue arose. See, for example, a camel or cattle, camel and cattle, right? Those two, they have 7 shares, right? Those two, they have 7 shares. You can, because the hadith is there. A sheep and goat, they have
one share.
A chicken has
no share.
Chicken has no share.
Chicken is chicken.
You call ba'd al-nas 40 chickens, one sheep, right? Don't you? Jeez, no. That's not good chicken, though. But, right, so to do, now, for example, if you were to do a camel, this is wajib udhiyah. This is the necessary udhiyah, the sunnah, the wajib udhiyah. Right? Something happened? Oh, you're going pacing up and down. This is the wajib udhiyah. In that is 1 share, 7 shares, 1 per person. In the sheep and the goat, 1 share only. When it comes to nafil, so you want to do on behalf of the deceased, or you want to do, I know many people, they do, especially in what you call thing, in Makkah, not Makkah, sorry, especially in, they do in Makkah, Mukarram, Medina, Munawar as well, but especially in South Africa, especially the wealthier people, they do it there, they do it on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They do it on, they do it in Bangladesh, etc. as well. Yeah. So they normally go for, you know that goat that comes in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam slaughtered that goat specifically, right? There's a specific description. I think he had a bit of, like, I think two sets of horns, four horns, and had a bit of whiteness. Yeah, I can't remember the exact description, right? Those goats, you want to see inflation, you see the price of those goats when it comes to Ramadan time. That's the price, because all these rich people, they literally fight to go, and they go to the farm. The majority of the farmers there are white farmers, right? Even they know that they need to get these goats. They go to neighboring African countries, everything, and they go. The farm we used to, one is the relative's farm. The other farm we used to go to, they used to pride themselves. So it's a very big family. And this family has up and down the country, throughout South Africa, they have construction, yards. And they have construction, not a company, but they have shops and everything. But hardware shops. And obviously in the remote places, they have the petrol pump, they have everything. So they're, mashallah, quite very wealthy. And they are very close to my cousin. Like I said, risk Allah gives. Such wealthy people. My cousin can go anywhere in the country and he'll come across the family. And they all know him. The entire family knows him. And every year they insist that he comes and slaughters their first cow. But they don't just get any cow. The baqaida, 6 months before Qurbani, members of the family, not everyone obviously, they're running, but some of the youngsters, they go around Africa, Namibia, Kenya, etc., and they look for the biggest and the most expensive cows. 1.3, 1.5, 1.6 tons. I don't think many of you have seen. If you're India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, you definitely haven't seen it. Right? 100%. Those cows, man, I can drop one myself. No, I'm joking. But these things, 1.6 ton. You look at the thing. It's not just solid muscle. It's ripped in places where it's impossible. You would think anatomically, it's impossible to have muscles there. And that thing has muscles there. Right? And to drop it as well, you need like 40, 50 men. Otherwise, that thing, it pulls. When he starts charging, Assalamu alaikum. It's a rough one. When we were there, alhamdulillah, we weren't. Okay, one of the bulls broke loose in our farm. Because Allah, those idiots, seriously, man. And there were women and children there. And I'm sure they're all sleeping. But the stupidest people I've ever come across in a crisis situation, women and children. But there's a bull loose. It's 700 kilo. It's small, 700 kilo. It's wild. And the women and children are doing? They're standing around. My uncle and them are screaming. They're taking out the guns. Because if that thing starts charging, and the thing with the gun is, a 9mm won't do anything. And a shotgun is too far away. They have to take out the rifle. Even a rifle, I would say, by the time the bullet reaches the brain, it will still manage, if you shoot it while it's here, it'll still manage to hit the uncle over there before it drops. Even in a .22 rifle. And the slug is like this big. Right? And the women and children are standing around like this, gawking at it, like, what's happening? So anyway, they would go around and they would buy these, baqaida, buy them. And then they would slaughter them. Once upon a time, once again, the qurbani is about sacrifice. What greater sacrifice can there be than something which really impacts you? That bull is a stud. You want to use that for breeding. But now that you are slaughtering it, that shows sacrifice. You could have spent, like I said, £20 and send it to, Namibia somewhere, because Namibia have a lot of goats and sheep. You could have done that. Instead, you spent £200 and did that sacrifice. That's what's important. And he said they do a lot for Rasulullah, etc. So when it comes to Nafil Qurbani, to do multiple people on one share, that's perfectly fine. So you can do one share, for example, like my cousin normally what he does is he'll do Rasulullah with Khadija radiallahu anha. Rasulullah with Aisha radiallahu anha. Rasulullah, now these are like one, Everyone always looks at him like, where do you get these goats from? So once again, Allah, it literally, Allah gives. Like he, if I need inspiration for tawakkul, he's the person I go to. Like genuinely speaking. By the qasam of Allah. You know, someone asked him once upon a time, and this, obviously, the musallis of the community were telling me, that someone asked him, he said, you know what, Mufti Sahib, how? He's like, you know what, like, you're an imam, you don't have a job, you don't work anyway, you're here. But, you know, one day you're in India, one day you're in Umrah, one day you're here, one day you're there. Like, without exaggeration, he must have, you know, now he's slowed down a bit, he's getting older now, he's like 60 now. So he's slowed down a bit. But otherwise, as I was mentioning, at least twice a month he was in Umrah. Twice a month. So how? So his response, and subhanAllah, you know what? Allah Ta'ala give each and every one of us a tawfiq to internalize this response. Allah Ta'ala's door is open, and the musalla is the doorway to Allah Ta'ala, and it is open every night. Literally, that was his response. And really, it's true. We have needs. I have needs. When was the last time I decided I'm going to wake up and I'm going to raise my hands and cry to Allah? Genuinely, when did I do it? Look, the thing is, if the need doesn't go away, at least the gham will go away. That, you know, that fikr, that worry and concern will go away. At least that much. Isn't that a logical thing? The solution, isn't that, you know, I wouldn't say a band-aid, but isn't that a complete, you know, cure at least? Almost, you know? So that's with regards to the shares, right? You can, when it comes to the actual wajib or sunnah qurbani, it's according to that, what do you call thing, the dissemination made by the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when it comes to nafil, just as for example in nafil, you can make intention for ishraq, you can make intention for salatul tawbah, you can make intention for tahiyyatul masjid, you can make intention for tahiyyatul wudu, you can make intention for salatul shukr, you can do that. In fard salah, you can't make intention for fajr, for isha, you can't make intention for fajr, for ashr, for asr, for zahr and isha together, you can't do that. But for nafil, you can combine intentions. So that's the logical thing. Sorry, payment. For you to do udhiya on behalf of someone else, meaning to fulfill their wajib, yeah, that's perfectly fine. So as long as you've informed them. Like for example, zakat as well, right? You can take out zakat on behalf of your wife as long as you have told her. And she actually, you know, she has to appoint you, that's different, right? She can tell you and you can tell her, and that once that ijazah and etc. is done, that's perfectly fine, right? But for example, sadaqatul fitr, you can take out on behalf of your family, you know, stuff like that, that's perfectly fine. Udhiyah will be due upon whoever, what do you call thing, has, oh, I talk at... Oh, so remember, we don't follow that masla where a wajib can be offered on behalf of other people, right? So for that, each person will do their own. So each person that has the nisab amount will do their own. So for example, if in your household, right, there's 10 of you, and all of you will have your own money, then you will do it on, and all of you are abale, then you will do it on behalf of yourselves, right? But if you want to do it on behalf of your child or something, that is separate. Because it's not wajib, it's not balig, so it's not wajib upon you. That's separate. Do you want to conclude here, inshallah? The morning after, it's not a cold morning, it's not a what you call thing, it's like a very calm and, you know, blissful morning. The thing is, so the thing is, right, with regards to these signs, etc., there's a lot of, I won't say kalam, but there is a bit of kalam on them and how they are interpreted and how they are taken. Because ultimately the whole maqsad of what you call Laylatul Qadr, especially since that, you know, that whatever, that in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that, I won't say it's the incident, you can't blame the incident, right? The reality is, when you look at the Laylatul Qadr, the reality is, I think Imam Ghazali rahimahullah makes 5 tawjihat of why Laylatul Qadr is hidden. And one of the most important, two of the most important ones for you and I, there's many reasons, two of the most important ones for you and I. Number one is, if Laylatul Qadr were to be known, and then we were to commit sins in that night, then we do not know what will happen to our iman. Because if such a Mubarak night, you know it's such a Mubarak night. Remember, on the plains of Arafat, there are people who are watching movies. Do you know why I say photography is haram now? It's a domino effect. Once you allow something, slowly, slowly, everything else becomes, it's a movie, what's wrong? Okay, I'm muted the music. This movie, okay, no, you know what? Oh,
so
the naked.
Movie.
Huh?
They made the Islamic movie, but
yeah,
it's not
Islamic movie. Everything. See, the thing is, the reality is, once you open, in fiqh, in usul al-fiqh, there's a thing, that once you make, and once you open the doorway of takhsis in something that is am, then you can't stop it after that. So, when something is generalized, if you start making something specific into a general thing, then everyone can make something specific from their side. So it's specific to this, specific to that. Or this is excluded, and that is excluded. With photography, it's the exact same thing. Right? Today, right, Allah reward the committee because they decide to take what I had to say on board and they stopped it. The first Taraweeh we did in this masjid, they set up a whole tripod and everything there. And I saw it at Isha time. And I turned to Imam Ojiko Thi, Morana Sayyid, and I told him, I said, this is not happening. He said, no. I said, it is not happening. I am walking out of the masjid. I said, I don't care. And alhamdulillah, the committee, they agreed. They said, no, okay, fair. I said, look, where's the sanctuary? Why? If you want to do recording, you got e-masjid live. No one needs to see. I know I'm handsome, mashallah. I tell everyone I'm very handsome, right? But you don't need to see my face. You don't need to see the face of the khuffaz. You need to listen to the recitation. What difference does it make if I'm doing ah and ooh and e and ah? What difference does it make? If you're not here to correct my tajweed. You're not going to see whether, oh, is my tongue going in the right direction? When I'm making the dhal, is my tongue going correctly? Is it touching the thanaya ulya? Is it not touching the thanaya ulya? Are the sides of my tongue touching the, what do you call, anyab, etc.? Are they not touching the anyab? You're not going to look at all of that. You're not going to see, is my ishmam correct or is not correct? Is my wow, are my lips rounding correctly? What's the faida? Like genuinely, when someone is giving a khutbah, right? When someone is giving a bayan, yeah, it helps if you can see the person. But if you want to listen to it, you can have your head down and listen as well, right? Do you need to see the person? Does it make a difference to you whether he's making hand gestures or not making hand gestures? I went to a masjid long time ago, almost knocked the whole water glass into the mic system because I was making too many hand gestures, right? Does it make a difference? What matters is the content, right or wrong? So, alhamdulillah, they stopped it. But I could guarantee you, if that started then next thing you know, there would be a camera there. State-of-the-art camera. Why? Because then they can see in HD. You know? More sawab. Well, what's the different pixels? You know, you get the different pixels, 1440p. So more sawab. The greater the pixels, the more sawab you get. You don't know this masala. More sawab, you know? Better the camera. Higher the megapixels, the more sawab you get. That's why if you have the old Nokia flip phones, no sawab for you. They behave like that, though. This is a masjid. It's not a TV studio. Unfortunately, this goes back to yesterday's hadith of the istihbab of making jam'ul of qira'ah, of sitting together in a group of qira'ah. We have commercialized the kitab Allah. Allah saves us. We are commercializing it. That the kitab of Allah is supposed to, you know, in the Quran, nazala bihuzn. فَقْرَأُوهَا بِالْحُزْنِ سَعْدُ النَّبِي وَقَاسُ رضي الله تعالى عنه says فَإِن لَمْ تَبَكَوْ فَتَبَكَوْ. If you cannot cry, then at least try and make it like you are crying when you are reading the Quran. To that extent. And meanwhile, we are going around and, you know what, this TV, you know, to put this camera, put it here, put it there. Why? Why? We have completely destroyed every element of ibadah. We still, you know, Allah forbid, but we are coming to that point where, you know, Allahu Akbar, so much khushu and khudu. So much khushu and khudu. It's like that man, you know. The four men went into the masjid. And they started reading salah. One of them is the imam, other three are musallis. Imam makes a mistake. The musalli from the behind corrects him. He doesn't get the correction. So he says, brother, you made a mistake. So the imam turns around in salah. Imam says, you know you can't speak in salah. The third person then goes and says, both of you brothers have made your mistake. Both of you brothers have broken your salah. And then the fourth brother loudly, alhamdulillah, Allah has saved me from this fitna. Blind, not even blind, leading the blind. I don't know what kind of thing is going on here. But you know what? The reality is we are falling down this kind of, you know, it's a slippery slope and rabbit hole. It's genuinely one of the biggest slippery slopes ever. I was in Masjid al-Falah, right? So, my role in Masjid al-Falah, Masjid coordinator, so I have to basically make, I've told him, I'll see you after Ramadan, I'm here for Ramadan. But after Ramadan, so one of the things they needed was some imams for, a new imam for Asr, for Zahr and Asr. And it's very difficult to find an imam for Asr and Maghrib. It's almost impossible to find an imam for Asr and Maghrib unless you're going to find one old uncle, etc., in winter. You can't. It's either you have a full-time imam or you get random people. Because it's like a banda, you can't tell the man, come for 2 hours, and what job is he going to do? It's impossible, you know. So one of the people that came and applied for the role, competent imam, mashallah, very competent imam, everything. And Allah save us, right? Allah save each and every one of us. But you know, if any reason as to why we shouldn't have photography, this is a glaring example as to why we shouldn't have photography in the masajid. So he was the imam of a very famous masjid. We all know this masjid, I'm sure, in Redbridge. And he must have given a... So, number one, and this is another reason why we shouldn't do khutbah in English either. I will fight with you, right? We shouldn't do khutbah in English either. Right? There is no khair in it, in my honest opinion. Well, you got the bayan, why do you do khutbah in English? Any argument to make the khutbah in English is stretched. Al-khutbatu min as-salah, the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you can argue against the hadith to try and justify make it in English, it doesn't make sense to me. Especially if you are of the opinion where you should go into the hadith as much as possible. Now, I don't understand where it's coming from. Al-khutbatu min as-salah. Khutbah is actually a form of salah. That is why the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if someone is even talking, you should not even tell them to stay quiet. The books of fiqh, they go on to say, you shouldn't make any movements. The only kind of movements you should make is if you see in front of you when you're going to make sajda, there are sharp stones there, which will hurt you when you make sajda. Then you should move them. Otherwise, sit still. Completely listen. That's it. That's the khutbah. That's why the khutbah, normally you make it very short, 2-3 minutes. It's not because you want to, what do you call thing? Want to, you know, no one knows Arabic and we don't know how to make khutbahs in Arabic. No. It's so we make that, you know, restrictions easier upon people. Now then, to make it into English, mashallah, then tomorrow, God is the greatest. No, why not? I'm sure you can make some justification for it, and there is a justification for the little ruju'ah is made from it. Not going to go into that. But anyway, I had to do the interview for this imam, and there was one of the trustees were present. He's a morana as well, the trustee is a morana. So I did the interview, alhamdulillah, whatever. He said, you know, he has some capacity, X, Y, Z, whatever, whatever. Took whatever, all the notes. I said, Jazakallah for coming, Allah Ta'ala reward you, will give you a jawab within 1 week. The morana asked me after he's gone, do you know who he is? I said, no. He said, alhamdulillah. I said, okay, why, what happened? He said that he was the imam in XYZ place, and when this whole October 7th thing happened, he gave in the khutbah, he spoke about it and he made la'na upon the Jews. And severe. As we ought to. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ اللَّهُمَّ الْعَنِ الْكَفَرَةِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اللَّهُمَّ الْعَنِ الْكَفَرَةِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ يَسُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ وَيَكَذِّبُونَ رُسُلَكَ وَيُقَاتِلُونَ أَوْلِيَاءَكَ. We have precedence from both the Quran and the Hadith. Quran, لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم. Leave alone Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala is saying that Dawood alayhi salam cursed that قوم. Isa alayhi salam, you know, Isa alayhi salam was the embodiment of mercy from the Anbiya alayhi salam. The Sharia of Isa alayhi salam was so much of ease. It was easier than our Sharia. We are in between Musa alayhi salam Sharia and Isa alayhi salam Sharia. So much ease Isa alayhi salam Sharia had. And Isa alayhi salam is cursing them. Can you imagine what a mal'oon qawm? Right? So, he must have done that. But now this masjid, mashallah, they like to be not one sharp, two sharp, they like to be three sharp. Not only do they broadcast it on their website, they put it on YouTube as well. So, mashallah, Daily Telegraph got hold of it. And he was plastered on the Daily Telegraph. What did the masjid do? They disavowed him. Allah kabande, you shaitans are the ones who put the TV thing in the first place. And now, when your imam is doing what he's supposed to do, you're throwing him out. They completely, we don't represent, his views don't represent the masjid. Of course they do. I stand proudly by it. They represent my views. If you're one to, you know, if he quacks like a duck, it sure as hell ate a chicken. So, if you're going to behave in a certain way, if you're going to kill people indiscriminately, if you're going to peddle hatred against Muslim community across the world, what do you expect people to do? What is going to be the outcome? So anyway, what I'm saying is, look, my, Uncle is getting annoyed. We'll finish off here, inshallah. So, G? Or Imam Ghazali's reason, right? The first one is that if you're going to commit a sin in that night, that Allah Ta'ala knows what will happen. And the second is that it shouldn't be that we only restrict that a person does no ibadah throughout the year. Why? I will get Laylatul Qadr. Do we not see? We make plans sometimes. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. Right? And then what happens? Something happens and we can't do anything. But do we not see that? It happens. We make plans. We've got everything. So many people had their hotels booked for Umrah. So many people had their flights booked for Umrah. And now? They couldn't go. Some people made the way, Wizz Air, you know, Wizz Air budget, but subhanAllah, they get the things done, they're like, no problem. We'll make the money. Even if our passengers die, everyone dies, no problem. At least we got the money before everyone died. Plane is insured, right? So Wizz Air was still flying. So the people who really wanted to, they somehow managed to, you know, weasel the way through and go. But otherwise, people made plans. Some people made plans for years. For years. But, you know, it didn't happen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. May Allah forgive me for anything wrong that I said. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us. Subhanallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you. Tomorrow night.
I think he's starting to make the afternoon.
So make the afternoon.